Wildy and Tausch begins now.
Jesse, I was kind of hoping we had more audio from June 12th. But we're, because I know you voted in the democracy to play more of it. Do we have anything else as it relates to the Brewers winning the NL Central despite that ugly three-game series with the A's?
Yeah, don't you worry. There will be more to come throughout the course of the show.
Okay. Just, all right, good.
Don't you worry about that. But there was a text here from Nick and Wanaki, and it's small font, so Tausch, you're going to have to get your readers on here. Nick and Wanaki says, as I move the monitor closer,
could you make it? Could you make that smaller? Like, what are you doing? You
give him a bigger screen.
Give him a bigger screen.
No, it's a long text.
Yeah.
I don't like the champagne celebration when a baseball team wins a division.
Get over it, Nick.
It sends a mission accomplished message when I'd much rather see the opposite message.
Disagree with Nick.
This is one step. Our goal is a World Series. No champagne until then. I don't recall the Packers breaking out the champagne each time they won the North Division title.
They got hats and t-shirts.
Or advanced in the playoffs.
Okay, so when you get engaged, don't have champagne? Nope, we're waiting until we get married. Don't celebrate big moments in life, Nick, huh? Like, what are you doing? It's 100. How many games they play? 157, 158. You grind through. You get. I actually think celebrate here. If you want to get with where Nick is at, and I understand, hey, you can fan the way you want. I'm going to disagree.
Mm-hmm.
Don't celebrate after the wild card series because you have to flip the script and get back to it. Here, you have 6 or 7 days, man. And if you're not going to celebrate that, this is a grinder of a season. You had people writing you off in June.
Some people.
And you're celebrating. You should be celebrating last night. I don't care if you lose the game. Enjoy the moment. So you're telling me you can only enjoy if you finish the entire deal. You can't enjoy any moment along the way. So if Jordan Love throws, you know, for some, has 7 tutters and breaks the Packer record for one game. He should not celebrate any of that because the job is not done. What are we doing then? So what is this?
Do we think that within, and I'm not trying to pick on Nick and Wanaki here, but again, humans are complex, complicated, advanced creatures who are able to hold multiple thoughts in their heads. Can the Brewers not be excited and happy and celebrating their division title and also thinking, hey, we got a hell of a lot more work to do. This is not enough.
Did he hear what Craig Counsell had to say when he was before champagne bottles are popping? This is the start. This is one of four. I think
right.
is what he said.
And why can't so
why
Nick
it's
is,
so hard to be upset with people for celebrating?
Nick is not the only one who thinks this. This is not uncommon.
That's fine.
My argument would be celebrate the whole way because life's too short to not celebrate accomplishments, and this is an accomplishment, especially when, as you said, there were people that thought they were donezo 3 months ago.
So do you celebrate every birthday that you have?
Me? Yeah, we go out to dinner for every birthday.
Okay.
And I make sure that we celebrate Paula and the girls' birthdays. Paula's is a little challenging because it's during training camp, but we usually find a way.
Okay.
But they won the division. They know it's not over. It's not mission accomplished. I'm sorry that it makes Nick feel like that's what they feel, but they know that. Just like when you guys won divisions, it was... you know, we run the North t-shirt or whatever it was, right? Won, W-O-N, not done. That's one of my favorite t-shirts. Won the division, we're not done yet. We all know you're not done. So I think you need to celebrate and enjoy your accomplishments. Don't rest on them. Don't say, okay, I'm good. But I don't think the Brewers were doing that. Now, we can have a conversation about spraying stingy champagne into your eyes and stuff. Not a fan of that, I don't think.
Yeah, kind of jealous those guys get to do all that fun stuff. We don't
not
get to
a tradition
anything.
In football.
It should make it. a tradition.
I did want to check to see if they had like padding on the walls or anything so that Devin Williams would...
I think Devin learned a lesson. I think he's probably not punching walls.
Put some boxing gloves on or something just to protect the fingies.
Ahmad Carroll style.
Mm-hmm. It would be smart for him to ensure carefully when he's at AmFam Field. And if he's, you know, after they win the World Series, perhaps he'd like to take you up on your Badgers opportunity.
He could. Badger fans, American Family Insurance, they want to give you and a friend a VIP experience at a Badger football or basketball game this season. You and a friend will receive pregame, sideline, or courtside passes, a tour of the facility, and tons of great merch to support your Badgers. Enter today at amfam.com/badgers. No purchase is necessary. Dream fearlessly. Insure carefully.
We need to get ready for Uncle Homer, but I want folks to hear some of the things that Jordan Love said yesterday. Not at the laundry hamper. I was talking to Isaiah McDuffie, who is now having his locker barricaded by reporters, because Jordan is no longer at the laundry bin, but he's not in front of his own locker either. He's in front of Isaiah's. And apparently, according to Isaiah, there may have been some video footage. I don't know if it actually made it onto television. It might have been on Packers.com that someone didn't notice. But there was some not suitable for work background video. Apparently during one of these at the laundry.
It's still so weird that... that the media, there's not like a media room that people go. It's always so weird to me. I'd be curious if this happened in like the WNBA locker rooms. I don't know if it does. I'm always fascinated that this still happens. I am.
Yeah. If you want to listen to the Mr. Irrelevant podcast, Alex Strofe and I had a conversation yesterday about relationships in the locker room and stuff like that. I believe that drops today.
Great tease.
I love being in the locker room. I love getting to know these guys. I like talking to them. I like telling their stories. So I am really glad that we're in the locker room. I just don't want people's junk to be on video.
You could still just go in the weight room. Yeah, there's like another spot that everybody has to siphon through.
What we need to get to is, did you hear this? The Jordan Love Edition. Next, it's Wildy and Tausch.
Wildy and Tausch is presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, America's original craft vodka produced in Austin, Texas, and naturally gluten-free. Tito's Handmade Vodka.
If this doesn't call for overreaction, guys, I think Oakland would lose a lot of AAA games and AA games. Oakland stinks.
That's true.
I can't name an Oakland A.
They're all-time bad.
Neither can anybody else. Neither can people in Oakland.
That's true, too.
Literally, Oakland is the Cleveland Indians of the 1989 movie Major League.
100% accurate.
That was a good line.
But it's true. They're literally relocating, and the team is wanting to stink so that Oakland doesn't have like lawsuits they can come back against them. It literally is the same thing.
Yeah, except... the 1989 film, the Indians tie the Yankees for the AL East crown.
They didn't have Jake Blanken, whatever his last name was, leading the troops. And they didn't have old boy from the California Penal
Jake
League
Taylor,
coming in to shut people down. They
Ricky
didn't have
Vaughn,
Willie Mays Hayes and Corbin Burnson playing a great third base as a veteran.
Roger Dorn.
And Serrano hitting bombs at the
Pedro,
end of games.
Yeah.
They had none of that.
You got Pete Blackburn, Pedro. Though. Pete Blackburn on the mound for the old A's.
The underrated part of that game was that great catch out in right field by the A's.
And sacrificing a live chicken.
Who started that game for the Indians? You know, it's all Cisco'd
up. Eddie Harris.
Gutty performance by Eddie.
Yeah, and especially after he had been the interim coach at Hickory and coaching the Huskers before Coach Norman Dale came back.
That was the same guy?
Same actor, yes, indeed. Yeah, he's in a lot
of things.
But do
you guys understand? Listen. Run as much of that stupid tape as
you guys
want.
We're going to.
No, I understand.
That was the good part. It's going to get a little rougher later.
No, it's going to be fine. It is what it is. This team is the Cleveland Indians. What I can't remember the name of the owner of the Indians at that point. The gal. She literally was tanking, like big time tanking. That's what Oakland's doing. It's crazy.
Yes, and. I don't know who Rachel Phelps is for the current A's, but that was the name of the owner of the Indians back in Major League.
Boy, that movie was great.
It is a great movie.
They should revamp that.
Pete Vukovich.
If the Brewers win the World Series, they need to say how we overcame what happened on that fateful June series at AmFam Field. That's what they need to do.
Moneyball 2 is actually the Oakland A's moving to Vegas.
Get the city and the state to pay for the whole thing, and then we'll move the team to Las Vegas. And nobody, you really think they're going to draw anybody out there in Las Vegas? The middle of summer? You think Oakland fans are going to flock in? They'll get Brewer fans that go out there. Pirate fans?
Yeah, I watched Sunday Night Football. And
it's going to be a green and gold gala.
I don't think baseball works the same way.
No,
but
there's too many games.
T.J. Watt said that it was 70% Steelers fans.
Yeah, it will be the same. They're going to be running silent count.
Yeah, the Raiders went silent count.
It's unbelievable. Can you imagine? It would suck.
No, what in the name of Clue Haywood is going on here? This guy sneezes. He looks like a party favor. Let's get to
who's
a little
the guy that hit
here?
His kid? Who hit his kid in the father-son game?
The Duke, the closer. This guy threw at his own kid in a father-son game.
I still that white wall tires, man. Hey, Louie, we're looking to have you manage the Indians. Let me get back to you. I'm on the horn with another guy about some white wall tires. What movie is just quotes everywhere?
Can we get Pete Vukovich on the show?
I want Lou Brown on the show. How did he get that team turned around? How did he do it?
I will check if Lou Brown, the actor who played Lou Brown, is still with us. I know Pete Vukovich
is. I'm too damn old to be wandering around here with towels.
And I'm too old to be jumping in the shower. All right, can we get to a little, did you hear this? Speaking of the shower, from Jordan Love standing in front of Isaiah McDuffie's locker so nobody's junk is broadcast on Packers.com.
Consider it the radio version of a conversation at the water cooler. It's time for Did You Hear This? On Willie and Tausch.
I'm sad to report that Lou Brown, the actor James Gammon, passed away in 2010 at age 70.
R.I.P. What a great performance he put on in that movie.
He was excellent.
Here is Jordan Love speaking at the locker yesterday of Isaiah McDuffie on confidence after and comfort after three starts as the Packers' starting quarterback.
It's definitely settled down, but I think I still have more, you know, opportunity to get more comfortable and just settle in a little bit more. You know, obviously, in the game, I missed a couple of throws, and I think, you know, it's just when I get more comfortable, I'll be able to make every throw and be confident in that.
Taos, do you like the honesty?
For sure. That's part of his makeup and how he, you know, we heard all offseason poise, leadership, and that was all great, but you got to show it on the field. He's been awesome. He has been absolutely awesome in that regard. His completion percentage, there's plenty of things that you can look at and say, well, he needs to get better. He knows that. But what he's been able to do and how he has been honest in his approach, but the confidence is just building. And it's not only building within him, it's building within his coaches, and it's building within his teammates. And that is what's the most important and most impressive part about the first 3 weeks of this season.
Yeah, I think my favorite thing that we didn't actually talk about in the aftermath of the comeback was the heart-shaped celebration that they're doing now for Love. I believe Romeo Doubs started it with the touchdown catch. In my opinion, says a lot about how they feel about him, which is pretty cool, and I really like that. And Romeo, let's be honest, didn't really hit it off with the previous guy. And so there is definitely a vibe between those two that is a really good thing. I would also add this. I'm really, believe it or not, because I refuse to use the word awesome, I really can't wait to see what he looks like when he's got both Christian Watson and Aaron Jones on the field with him. That hasn't happened yet.
Well, you got another night, looks like.
I am very eager to see that. So he has been very good. There are some shortcomings that he acknowledges, but he's been very good, and I can't wait to see what this offense looks like.
By the way, every quarterback has shortcomings, just FYI.
Did you hear this?
Speaking of...
They do? am I speaking out of turn?
No, blank.
Okay.
Speaking of Christian Watson coming back, here's what Jordan Love had to say about getting wide receiver one likely back on the field tomorrow night.
That would be huge. That'd be very, very good for our offense. You know, he's a huge playmaker. And, you know, you saw week one, just getting him the ball, it ends up in a good play most of the time. So it's going to be huge just for everybody to help out. He's going to be a big playmaker for us and just, you know, probably just make the offense be a little bit more explosive when he's out there.
On a scale of 1 to 10, Tausch, how significant is Christian
Watson? I'm going
to
wield it. No, blank, blank.
That's why I'm asking you. How much of an impact is that going to make?
10. He is the 10 on this team. Christian Watson's obviously important, but Aaron Jones is the 10. We saw, he just mentioned it. He knows. Get him the ball. For all of the stuff Blue was talking about with the run game, Aaron Jones, I didn't see him averaging 2.5, 3 yards a carry. I didn't see him having, the struggles that we've seen. So from an O-lineman standpoint, getting him back is going to make you look a lot better, just like Amon Green made us look a lot better. So it's important. He is your explosive playmaker. Every time he touches the ball, great things can happen. And opposing defenses have to account for that. Right now, you think they're afraid of Taylor and A.J. Dillon? At worst, you're going to give up, you know, if A.J. gets loose, 10, 12, 15 yards. Aaron Jones takes that to the house. That's the difference. And what he does out of the passing game, we saw it. I thought one of the most important plays, that Bear game, 4th-and-2 or 4th-and-3, simple little angle route, eep, deuces B, crib, ball game. Hammy, yank, win. That's what you're looking for from Aaron Jones, and everybody knows that. Him getting back and being, if he can even give you 50% of the snaps and what he was able to do in that opener, he changes the whole complexion of this offense.
Just to clarify, he was talking about Aaron Jones there, not Christian Watson, right?
The clip I have labeled is talking about Christian Watson.
Yeah, he's talking about Aaron Jones, about the difference he makes, and Tausch is talking about it too. Now, that said, he did talk about Christian Watson and the downfield threat, and there's a statistic that Gabe Neitzel sent to me. These are Jordan Love's accuracy numbers through 3 games, according to Pro Football Focus. On passes thrown 10 or more yards down the field, Love is 16 of 41. Those numbers include, in passes thrown 20 or more yards downfield, 3 of 16 with an interception.
Woof!
You know what improves that?
See what?
Christian Watson.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing that'll help a lot.
The other thing that I think gets lost in this, not that they're going to play for this, but what we've seen a ton of success, even
3 pass interference penalties.
Thank you.
Did you hear this?
No blank, blank.
Last one, Jordan.
A lot of that going around.
Referring to the Atlanta game and what it meant for the Packers' comeback against the Saints.
I think Atlanta helped us for this situation, just knowing that, you know, every game comes down to the last couple minutes in these situations, critical situations, and, you know, situations that you got to take advantage of. And like I said, just lock in on every play, because you never know when that big play might come. But I think Atlanta helped us go forward in this game. It was a lot of situations we could learn from, the 2-minute that we didn't take advantage of in Atlanta, that I think we did a better job of taking care of against the Saints.
Tausch, was there ever
a game? No, blank, blank.
Okay. Was there ever a game that
come down the last few minutes.
Was there ever a game that you lost and then immediately won within the next week or two and you could relate it right back to that loss as something you learned and turned it around?
No, not to this degree. I think this is pretty, I'm sure there is. I can't think back that long. But you learn lessons in life. You learn lessons on the football field. And I thought after that Atlanta game and everybody freaking out about Jordan's fourth quarter, and I just kept saying growing pains, Alan Thicke, my whole shtick that I'm doing with that, because it's true. And you just heard Jordan say, you go through these processes and you learn. And if you're not learning and taking it, just like a coach will say, don't make the same mistake twice. All right, Jordan, I think he now understands getting that first down, getting that's more important than taking big shots early in that, you know, in the fourth quarter when you just have to keep plugging. That's what they learned last week. And when you can see it and it's that quick of a turnaround, That's why coaches get excited. That's why I got excited last week, because it was all lost. But they kept believing, and they actually executed. You can believe all you want. You got to go and do it. And they did, and that spurs you on. That leads more belief. And NFL football and locker rooms, I don't want to put a percentage on it, but belief, the Jets don't have it. The Bears don't have it. The Vikings don't have it. You can look through. Early in the season, fragile teams will crater. Strong teams and strong organizations won't. And the Green Bay Packers went from where, if they had lost again against New Orleans, you would have been hearing a whole different narrative. People have figured Jordan out. That stuff matters. And now you believe and you're going to move forward. That's why I'm so bullish on where this team's at.
That's it for Did You Hear This? We need to get ready for Homer. Speaking of Did You Hear This, you hear one call, that's all a lot, right? You hear David Gruber talk about it all the time. Well, it's more than just a slogan. That really is how it works. One call, and then they've got everything else taken care of. So you can focus on healing and getting healthy again after your serious injury in an accident. So check them out online. Gruber Law Offices, gruber-law.com. That's gruber-law.com. Find out more about the firm. Find out more about everything they do in the community. Or give them that call. One call, that's all. 414-276-6666. 414-276-6666. No fees unless you win. Gruber Law Offices, one call, that's all. Uncle Homer's next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Wildy and Tausch is presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, America's original craft vodka produced in Austin, Texas, and naturally gluten-free. Tito's Handmade Vodka.
You hear him every weekday on the Homer Hour, 5 to 6, on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. I'll join him today. I look forward to that. You also hear Brian Bulaga with him. You hear John Anderson with him. You also hear him on the Marquette Men's Basketball Radio Network. Basketball season right around the corner.
Who do you think his favorite is now that he's doing this Homer Hour? You know, he's not afraid to put it out there. Who's his favorite to work with?
I think he really likes Brian Bulaga.
I think so, too.
We all do. And you can also check them out on God Talk, My Faith with Homer and Pip on YouTube. It is Steve the Homer True. Homer, good morning. I have a question for you.
I'll answer that question. Good morning. It's not even close. You like my favorite partner is John Anderson. The
oh,
dude
really?
High jumped 7'2.5". I can't get over that. I mean, I've seen the guys. Every time I see him,
you
I
literally can't
no
get over that.
There's no way. Yes. There's no way that person, that body, high jump 7. You know how incredible 7'2.5" is? High jump?
Fosbury flop. Wait.
Yeah,
so
whatever.
Did you just
you need a tramp?
Did you just pay him a compliment by saying he's your favorite partner, and with his body, you don't know how he could have jumped 7 feet
yes.
2 inches?
That's yeah, a kind of a backhander deal,
on.
Right?
No, it isn't backhanded. You go. You watch John Anderson the next time on ESPN and look at him and go, "There's no way. There's no way."
And that's a compliment.
A body like that, that size. Now, he explained it perfectly to me because he and I are similar. We both think we've gained about 60 pounds since high school. So when he did it as a high jumper, he was real thin. So that explained me.
How do you explain this now to Blue, who you do two shows a week with during the Homer Hour, that he is by far chopped liver compared to John Anderson?
I did not say he was chopped liver.
You said, without a doubt, my favorite. Without a doubt.
It's not close.
Without a doubt, my favorite, John Anderson, you said. So that's chopped liver.
Yeah. All right, call him chopped liver. I don't think he'll mind at all because he's such a student. He doesn't care what anybody thinks. He has a standard he adheres to. The information he must absorb and pass along. He could give a hoot. That's the way you are when you're a doctor.
All right,
he
Homer.
He is a doctor of football.
Yes.
There's no way. Now, I would ask you, Tausch, because you guys get into this offensive line stuff, which is
shades,
cool because we learned a little
techniques.
Bit about.
Yep.
No, we learned a little about who's real positive and all these kind of characteristics that you never gave us till the doctor of football moved in there. Now, you're
that I didn't
this
give you.
Out.
What are you talking about?
About well, who's
Homer,
the, who's
I agree.
The, who's the guy behind?
I agree. He brings right. out the best in Tausch.
Yeah.
Even more than I do.
Like,
I agree.
Like
even
the, who, which offensive lineman did you say was incredibly positive all the time?
Marco Rivera.
No, they were being sarcastic about
City
Josh
was not positive. Oh. City was the opposite of that. And
right,
so
well,
you didn't even. So you act like you just learned something. You didn't even know what the hell you were learning.
You learned the wrong.
No.
Thing. Yeah.
I blame the two of you.
Okay, delivery. Yeah, that's great.
Sure.
Blame
delivery.
Us, yep.
I would agree.
Okay,
it was a little confusing.
Was it confusing?
Yeah. A little bit.
But
it took
my
a while.
Point is, so I'm a little. Even if I'm slow to get it, I'll accept that. The kind of stuff that you two say together, not just when you say stuff nobody understands.
Yeah, he doesn't want Royce Newman playing guard anymore. And he'd prefer Josh Myers not playing center. He wants a whole new interior offensive line, I think.
I get that same thought. But he still explains it. He's hopeful the center will get better. I believe those were his exact words, right?
Hope is not a strategy.
Yeah, hope is not a strategy. Yeah. And he also said you are what you are at this point, is what he also said.
That as well. But I think he tries to be positive.
He does.
I suspect privately he's not as positive.
With varying degrees of success. All right, I would like to get back on the clock, but I want to ask you this first before we do a second segment with you. You are an opinionated fella. In my opinion, the GOAT of Wisconsin sports talk in history. Have you been wrong once or twice in your opinions?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when that occurs, what is your modus operandi? Do you just own it, or do you just try to defend your position? Because we've been working our way through this morning a program that aired on these here airwaves on June 12th after the Brewers lost three straight games to the Oakland A's, and my two compadres were donezo with them, writing them off, not going to be good enough. I tried to say, I know it's three games against a bad team, but it's still just three games out of 162. And lo and behold, now they're Central Division champs. What's the wrongest you have been about something? And how did you handle that wrongness? I want you to give that some thought during the break. So yeah, so I'm not ambushing you with it. You got some time to think.
I'm ready.
Oh,
yeah.
It's right at the top of your tongue?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What were you the most wrong about?
Ricky Weeks. I thought he could be a phenomenal player, maybe even Hall of Fame level. And the mistake was that I didn't understand that when he came up that he just had a weird way of doing some things, and you just can't be that out of the norm and be that good. And so, yeah, I was really off on that.
Yeah, there's no way that's the biggest one. There's got to be more. You could further explore.
You think a guy might be that good? That would have been like picking Anthony Dilwig to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
He was better than Anthony Dilwig, wasn't he?
Heavens, no. Oh, Ricky Weeks? Ricky Weeks was way better.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But all still right. Not to put him at that level. Can't be that. How could I be that stupid? That's just, there's a greatness. You got to see it and have, you know. I'm sure I'll think of another one probably. I know they're
okay. Yeah, make it a better one. Okay. More with Uncle Homer. Straight ahead. Stick around.
You're listening to Wildy and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella at 855-PELLA-WI or visit online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Whatever you do, make sure do it right. Continuing with Uncle Homer. Whatever
you do, make sure. You can hear every weekday on the Homer Hour with his favorite, John Anderson, but also occasionally with Brian Bulaga.
Chopped liver is what he calls him now.
Or at least you do.
Homer, speaking of being wrong, I don't know if you thought of any others.
By the way, Gary Ellerson is also on Friday.
So what do you call him then?
Ooh, where's he ranked?
Is he ahead of blue or is he behind blue?
You asking me now? No, wow.
And then Wildy, is Wildy fourth?
I'm just on for a segment.
He's
not an hour. Now, Gary would be ahead of Blue.
Ooh, okay.
Just to irritate you.
Well, that's a lot of chopped liver going
me.
On.
You're the one that has to work with these guys.
You'll say I called him something I never called him.
No, you basically said chopped liver.
Yeah. Homer, speaking of being wrong.
By the way, I thought the Packers would be better under Forrest Gregg. When he came in, he had won in Cleveland.
He hated you, right? Didn't he?
He did hate me. Yeah. Yeah, he yelled at me really. Aside from that, yeah.
He was
that
mean
says
to
more about
he was
that says more about him than you.
He was mean to everybody, though. Now, yeah. You got to bring Lynn Dickey on.
No, Lynn's not a fan.
Talk about him in the worst way that I've ever heard him talk about.
It's a tough convo.
In public.
Yeah, he's very up.
He called him soft. Like he basically tried to say Lynn Dickey faked injuries so he wouldn't have to play against certain teams like maybe the Bears or something. Yeah,
there's no love lost there for sure. That's I think that's a very fair statement. Yes.
Times 100. But back to your question. But the team was tougher. I mean, but it just
what question are we answering? Just so I'm on the same page. I don't even know what we're talking about.
Jason
here.
Had a question for me. We're talking about when
a tease.
I was wrong, and I had said
indeed.
Do
we have enough show to get over every time Homer's been wrong?
You can.
How much time do we have left?
It clearly doesn't matter.
Do a
if you
digital
don't even
show.
Remember. You don't even have anything like. Who would care if you're going to be wrong and nobody remembers? Then go ahead and be wrong.
Mm. It's true. It goes out
and
into the ether.
By the way, we did not get you. I think you can check. I was way more positive about the Brewers than they were, but I won't go crazy about it because I was not willing to bet it. The odds were not.
Yeah, and I heard you say, I believe on your show, that if you're not willing to bet it, you don't really believe it.
That tells you you don't believe it strongly. That's correct.
Totally agree with that sentiment.
Hold on. We can get someone to come on. I bet $100 that they would win the division, which of course I can't do on the show. But he'll easily call in your show and say, "Yep, Homer and I bet $100, and I'll be paying him off soon."
Yeah, I also think when coaches or players guarantee victory, they need to put their paycheck up and donate to a charity if they're wrong. Like Carl Malone said, "I guarantee."
Yes. Yes.
Joe Namath said, "I guarantee." And if those guys are wrong on their guarantees, just donate your paycheck. Otherwise, don't make guarantees. Is that fair?
I don't know that it has to be that large.
No, it does.
Amount, but I agree the premise. I agree with the premise.
All right,
and that's true in general.
So yeah, I totally agree.
I believe in the Brewers because of the GM and but not enough.
Yeah, has it been? You were always Johnny David Stern's guy. It was you
yeah,
were
but
nervous.
I like this guy every bit as much.
Yeah, he's been fantastic.
No,
absolutely.
Yes, because the key is, as I said, which is it's amazing how many things say you don't remember. The key to Stern was.
What are you talking about? I've just directly quoted you three times, and I've been accurate on all of them.
Okay, he didn't mention this. The greatest thing to me, which I thought was good enough that you'd remember, was that he hired Matt Arnold, even though they didn't work together. He had kind of competed against him, and was impressed so much by the guy that when he became GM, the first hire he made was this guy. So
seems like
and
a good
there's
hire.
No way Craig Council is going to be the manager of the Mets. 0% chance, and I will bet you. I can.
All right. So why doesn't he have a new deal? Why is he a lame duck manager? You never see that.
I will admit, I stole this from somebody who I asked this yesterday. I'm not going to say who.
Well, who is it? Just tell me on the side. Just
whisper. He basically said that he's going to retire and he's going to spend time watching his kids play.
Right. That's been out there for a while.
Yeah, you're not. What do you think? You're breaking news, Morley?
I thought maybe he'd miss a year, but this was like. This is like he might be done managing.
For good.
Well, if he rides off winning the World Series, yeah.
Yeah. Well, they better do it this year because Ohtani's
going
to the Dodgers.
How old are his kids? He's got a freshman, right? How old are he's got one kid that's just going in?
I think there's one in Michigan, one in Minnesota. He's got two girls in high school, whatever. But this is the first time someone said to me he's going to retire as manager.
Not for good. No way.
Okay, all right.
For good?
That was the premise.
No, retirements do not have to be permanent. Yeah. All right. I would like to get to this before we let you go. And I was setting this up the entire time. Speaking of being wrong, I said earlier in this very program that it is looking more and more like I am going to have been very wrong with my 6-11 record prediction. I will be happily wrong because that means they're better than I thought, and that means it's going to be an even more interesting season to cover than going 6-11. Originally, we're in that 6-7 range. Then after they beat the Bears.
Originally, I was never 6. I was at 7. When they won the first game, I said 8. And I'm still at 8. And still at 8, not making the playoffs. Even though, as Powell mentioned.
Why? I thought you would be prisoner of the moment, guy. And the comeback would lead you to go up to 9 in the playoff berth. What's holding you back?
A win over Detroit. They beat Detroit, and I'll join both of those, yeah.
Vegas has got them at 9.5 already. You always go
That's
off
correct.
Of what Vegas tells you. You're not
I
buying
know,
it.
I know, I'm a little slow.
Okay.
Not buying it, but I'm close.
Okay.
What? Silenced everything? And Jason, you have not liked this very... You said 6. Are you changing from 6, or are you one that never changes and you're just going to... Because at some point you observe and they're better, and then
you can't change. Once you say something, you got to stick with it the whole way. That's what I was just told
really?
Earlier this show.
Well, really?
What? Yeah, that's what Jason told me.
No, that's not.
That is what you said.
That's not. I never said that during this show at all.
That's not true. But okay.
But what I would say is, I look forward to them getting their 7th win and solidifying the fact that I was wrong. Just like last year, I was wrong that they were going to get things figured mm-hmm. out down the stretch mm-hmm. and make the playoffs because they botched the last game. And had they won at home against the Detroit Lions, who had nothing to play for,
mm-hmm.
I would have been right.
Yeah.
But doesn't matter
because yeah,
I was wrong.
You were unlucky. You should have been right. In fact, if I were you, I would take that as a right.
That's why you're
the
you.
Game, the way they played at the end of the season. I mean, no, I'm wrong, yeah. but I wouldn't feel bad about that prediction. I would yeah. feel comfortable, and I would feel like I nailed it, and I just got screwed. You make good bets sometimes.
It's when losing is winning. And, yep, you guys nailed
no,
it. When you lose, but you win.
Not all the time. Well, not all the time, but some games.
Oh, shucks. Yep.
Yeah,
you know that sometimes you just lose games, you're unlucky.
Sure.
You had everything right, you played right, and it happens. And
yeah,
if it happens 100 times, you're just wrong.
Yep.
Yeah, I didn't.
That was a good prediction because they won 4 in a row.
It was a good prediction until it wasn't.
Until Aaron Rodgers, in his last pass as a Packer, threw an interception, which is really hard to believe given how rarely he threw interceptions, and the fact that now both Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers' last passes as Packers were interceptions. Homer, I will talk to you later today, buddy. Thanks.
I have one other question.
Oh, please, add. Question. Yes, I'd love to hear it.
Do either of you listen to him on Pat McAfee?
I do not anymore.
I do not.
Okay. All right.
Do you?
What did you find that was interesting? Tell us what was interesting.
Nothing. I was just curious if you did. I haven't.
I did hear our buddy Evan Cohen on Unsportsmanlike this morning saying that he has Green Bay envy. He can't stop talking about the Green Bay Packers, and he thinks he wishes he would have just stayed in Green Bay. He feels like he can't get over it. And I disagree with him. I don't know when he's going
to
be on again. But
he will talk about anything that will draw attention. He knows talking about the Packers draws attention. That's the only reason he's talking about.
I don't know if he likes attention as much as you think.
He doesn't know what the hell to do to draw attention because he's meaningless and he's hurt.
Oh,
and so he will find anything.
You're tough on him.
And whatever topic creates. No, that's a
tough
part of him. I like him. This is part of it.
You don't like him.
He has to be the center.
You think he's phony and he loves attention. You don't like him at all.
I never said he was phony.
I'll have to go back and check the tape. I think you said something inauthentic.
Good luck with that. I got to go back and check. The one thing in the world we can be sure that will never happen, which Tom says, go back and check. I got to go. That's too good. Bye.
That is Steve the Homer True, the Homer Hour, each weekday 5 to 6 on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee.
God, if I'm Bulaga, I'm thinking, what the hell am I even going on the show with him for? I got Gary Ellerson ahead of me. I got John Anderson ahead of me. What is Homer? Homer's just, he's Deion Sanders and Jesse Nelson it. He's putting tears on things, which you shouldn't do, as we all know, but he does.
Ranking his kids, ranking his co-hosts. The more or less lines.
Ooh, there's some fun ones for tomorrow.
Got your attention,
yes, there's some fun ones. Jordan Love had been averaging around 12.5 on Prize Picks. It's up to 16.5 yards rushing. I like that. I like
more
that
on one
that.
Run.
He's been pretty good with his legs, and I think he'll bust out of the pocket. I'll be curious if that happens. They don't have Aaron Jones yet, but I think Jair, if he plays, St. Brown at 74.5, I like that less. And I like Jaden Reed at 35.5 more. Those are the three I love. You guys can get involved too. Do Prize Picks, daily fantasy sports made easy. It's not about going against other people. It's just you go ahead and look at the board. Prize Picks gives you player projections, and you go more or less on it. I just told you what I like. I go 3 players. You can pick 2 to 6. And if you go 6, you can get up to 25X on your money on that entry. And all you do, download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com. to sign up now, and if you're a first-time user, Use that promo code WI and you get 100% match up to $100. You put 100 in, Prize Picks gives you 100. That's 200 to play with. Again, download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com. And by the way, I've been listening to New Heights. We got the big Taylor Swift thing with the Kelce boys. They love Prize Picks too. Taylor Swift could easily be playing Prize Picks as far as what's going on. That's the jump that I'm taking with those guys doing New Heights.
Oh, my God. Well, we wish her luck on the more or less, because Karma is her boyfriend.
2 months, more or less. 2 months, those two hanging out.
I don't know about you. I'm taking more than 22.
Is that a song?
Yeah.
How does that sound?
Can we just get to the 11 o'clock hour, please?
Sure.
The 11 o'clock hour will begin with some audio from Christian Watson Elementary, my dear Watson, that he's going to play. That's the plan. We'll hear it next. It's Wilde and Tausch. Hey, it's ESPN Wisconsin's Jason Wilde, and for years...